Founder and CEO of Private Officer International, a security and police organization since 2004. As I was saying, we have really been under the gun here today as far as the heat and the heat index, and I believe tomorrow will be more of the same. Some areas in the south hit 101. That's regular temperature, heat index of 110 or better. And for early mid-June, that's kind of that's kind of hot for us. If you are from someplace out in the desert where the heat is drier and the temperatures get 112 on a regular day in June, July, and August, you're probably going to be used to it much more than we are, but it's been hot, hot, hot. And unfortunately, we just can't take the time out to jump in the pool or, relax as much as we'd like to. Hope that you're having a great day and a happy Wednesday to you. We have, as always, a good show coming up for you. And a topic that is greatly needed. We want to tell you a little bit first, right off the top here at the beginning of our program, having lived on the Gulf Coast for many years and vacation, and really that's my second home. And that particular area is not a violent area, but the security officer was on patrol of the Twin Oaks Villas Apartments. He heard several gunshots. He went out on foot and began to comb in between the buildings, and he came upon a suspect who was still in the progress of firing at the victim. The security officer ordered him to drop his weapon and get on the ground. He held him at gunpoint, got him into custody before Pensacola, Pensacola police could arrive. The Pensacola police are crediting this security officer, who is yet to be identified, and we are looking into this to find out who he is, with the capture. They have given him the 100% thumbs up, and they credit him for the capture of the murder suspect, who would have, they acknowledge this, the murder suspect would have escaped, would have fled, may or may not have been captured later, had it not been for the alert, courageous, and brave security officer who confronted the armed man who was still shooting at the victim, still shooting. The security officer confronted him, ordered him to drop his weapon. Calls involving this security officer, and that this security officer is well informed, well trained, and one of the best in the security industry. So thumbs up, kudos to the security person involved. We are looking, searching for information, making calls to determine who this man or woman officer was, and we will be properly awarding and recognize. Private officer, may I help you? Hello. And that person has hung up. We'll be talking about getting your house in order, part one. And this is a very necessary topic. And I hope that you'll sit back and relax and be ready to take some notes. We've told you the last few programs about our continuing, and we will allow you at that time to ask questions or make comments. But we are reaching out in a lot of different ways. As you know, we have emails and radio programs, newsletters, news broadcasts, social networks, so on and so forth. But we're always looking for new ways, and we are have initiated iTunes now, and we are in the midst of initiating a streaming channel for ourselves, for our training and meetings, and all sorts of things will be on there as well. Buddies, your coworkers, your cohorts, and your security community in your neighborhood. Looking forward to it. Hope to get it out rolling in July. Thank you again for all of you who are renewing your memberships. June, July, we have in the next 2 months a big push for membership renewals as well as membership growth and recruitment. If you have outstanding membership dues, please, please, years, and we are going strong. If you'd like, you can send me an email while I'm on the air at radio@privateofficer.com and give me a heads up on anything that might be happening in your area. If you want to submit some training that might be happening or some special events or promotion or anything that might be happening in your area, we certainly want to acknowledge it, and we'll do it free of charge. In that, on that note, I do want to mention that we were notified by the Department of Transportation, the DOT, which regulates, of course, all modes of transportation in the U.S., notified of some great safety training that is coming up. They have several companies. One is called ATSSA Roadway Safety, responsible for going out in the middle of the street and blocking traffic to allow your company's employees out. I encourage you to take these courses, and if you'd like more information, send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com, and somebody will send it out to you. We're always getting heads up on various training that's available. And we have a big push over the next 4 months for training. And there's a lot of great avenues for you to take to get free or very inexpensive training. And we're going to help you with that. In fact, let me go ahead and mention this right quick. We mentioned that from June through October, we're giving free training away to businesses and churches who have security departments. If your security agency, your church security, or proprietary security would like for us to come in and give you a free seminar, we will do that. The seminar is Use of Force and the Liabilities. And we'll also be talking about workplace violence. We will have a great day of fellowship and training. All that we ask is that you provide the employees. You can also invite all of the other security companies from the neighborhood in because it is free. We'll do some recruiting, some fellowshipping, and we'll have a great time. Send an email to trainingdivision@privateofficer.com, trainingdivision. Yeah, you'll be able to come and join us. You'll be able to sit in on the training free. You'll be able to get involved. So just send us an email. Let us know that you'd like to participate, and member or non-member, we'd be glad to have you. But we have a lot of great training stuff going on. We also have, as I mentioned on Sunday, been able to connect with in training. Check out the website in about a week or less at privateofficer.com, and we will have that set up for you. I want to mention on Sunday's program, we talked a lot about a study that was done by one of our colleagues about the officers killed in the line of duty. And today, on a sad note, we were reminded by a friend of ours that this month, the month of June 2010, has been extremely deadly extremely deadly for law enforcement. So far in June, 13 police officers have been killed. 13. 82 officers have died so far in 2010. We're not even through half of the year. If this trend continues on this pace that we're on, law enforcement officers' deaths will be at an all-time record. We'll hit more than 150. Hopefully not. Hopefully things will slow down. But this month so far, during the month of June, 13 officers, police officers, have died. The average age, 40. So far this month, the month of June, 5. California Highway Patrol Officer Thomas Philip Coleman died. Maryland Trooper First Class Wesley Brown. White Plains, New York, Detective Michael Perry. Massachusetts State Police, Sergeant Doug Weddleton. Richmond County, Virginia Sheriff's Department, Deputy Sheriff Caroline Green. Spotsylvania County Sheriff's Office, Virginia, Deputy Sheriff Dean Ridings. Lancaster Police Department, Texas, Police Officer Craig Shaw. California Highway Patrol Officer Philip Ortiz. Monroe County Sheriff's Office, Florida, Deputy Sheriff Melissa Powers. Twiggs County Sheriff's Department, Georgia, Deputy Sheriff Richard Daniels. A lot has everything to do with the seriousness of our profession. It's not an easy job. It is a dangerous job for law enforcement and for private security. The capture of a murder suspect, by the way, I failed to mention this. That's the fourth 1-2 nightclub, the unarmed security officer disarmed the murder suspect just in the last month or so and took him into custody until police could arrive. How dangerous is that? You think that officer had time to look back at his manual, look back at his post orders? Oh, no, I'm not supposed to do this. It's too dangerous. No, folks, he didn't. He had to make the call when seconds count. When you make the right call, security officers are dying, protecting, and serving. On a lighter note, we are very happy tonight to announce something that's very cool. Starting very soon, there will be a new greeting card line available for private security and law enforcement. Pelican Greeting Cards has designed a line of greeting cards of all sorts that will be available on two websites, including Private Officer. Actually, it'll be three with Private Officer, and we will have a link in the upcoming weeks. So we're excited to be able to offer those. And don't dress professionally. Don't act professionally. Don't have the training. It's all in how you look and how you handle yourself. But I was saying that because you have an opportunity in your community. You have an opportunity to put forth an effort to network with law enforcement. You have a responsibility in uniform. Those things get noticed. If you want to be better respected by the law enforcement community in your area, if you want to be recognized, if you want to be thought of as a professional like this security officer in Pensacola, Florida is, obviously from what the press has said, this commander was praising this security officer up and down because of not only this capture, but other situations that he's been involved in, professionally handled the business at hand. I had an email this week from a security officer whose name I'm not going to mention. Again, asking why, do this. You have to know what your limits are. You have to know what your authority is. You have to know that you're not the police. Do not get involved in off-property incidents that when you're off duty. Don't stop. Well, I'll just tell you. I'll just tell you the whole situation. And I know this person is listening, and I'm sorry, but this is the way it is. You're off duty on the way home. You see a traffic stop. Even though you're in uniform, don't stop behind that patrol car. Don't get out to say, hey, you need some assistance. Because if you're other than that, be professional. Talk professional. Walk professional. Act professional. You're going to get the respect. You've heard the saying, I'm sure, 1,000 times before. Give respect. Be respected. Give respect. Get respect. So, if you would like to honor these police officers killed in the line, I'm a little disturbed that private security personnel won't go to the funeral of other security officers in their own town. How can you sit there, stand there, and say that you want to make the industry better, but you won't support someone who's died in the line of duty? Think about it. We have a lot of housekeeping notes, a lot of housekeeping problems that we need to clear up, and we hope that little bit by little bit these things will change. And we are actively seeking change, and we are asking you. I feel like Oprah right now. I'm asking you to join the No Text campaign. No, I'm asking you to be professional, to act professional, and to get involved. Get involved in your own industry if you want to really make things better. Support your fellow security officers who are injured or killed in the line of duty. We have a memorial service. We have a benevolent service. You can donate to it, a couple dollars here and there. You can send your own cards. Every time a security officer is injured or killed in the line of duty, we have a record of it. And we almost always, I'm sure, that the news department sends out an email blast. I'm not sure how many of you have inquired as to those. Also, September 19th through the 25th, 2010, that is the week of Private Officer Memorial. It's always going to be that week. I believe that's the third week in the month of September. We have had a lot of response from this. We're sending out emails and letters to state and legislators, U.S. senators, governors. You can get involved very easily. All you have to do is spread the word to your coworkers and otherofficer.com. adminassist@privateofficer.com. Terry emailed just now saying, you said a mouthful. he's talking about security officers supporting each other. It's something we need to do. We need to, I have a real problem with people who do lip service only. People say one thing and do the other. I have a real problem. That's been brought up by a few other people as well. And, you know, the fact is, we can sit here for hours at a time to do training, but when you're doing training in this method, in this environment over the radio, it's not as good as if we're one-on-one in person. There's only so much that we can do and so much that we can explain. It's better if you get hands-on training. It's better if you get in-person training where we're able to use it. So if it's going to be something that's going to help you, we're all for it. And just fill out that questionnaire. I think there were like 5 or 6 questions maybe. Send it back to us at adminassist@privateofficer.com. I'd like to also recognize Barry Cohen of Binghamton, New York, that's in upstate, for completing his certification in asset protection professional, as well as Tracy Atwater in New Bedford, Massachusetts, certified asset protection professional. Again, as we always say, and I would be amiss by not saying it this time, training equates to money and life-saving skills and techniques. It's something you need to do, folks. You got to do it. That's why we're so big into training, and that's why we've set up free training, discounted training. If you'd like more information, send an email to trainingdivision@privateofficer.com. Have an email just in from Drexel wanting to know about the best dressed officer. $50 gift pack for first place, $50 gift pack for second place, a war certificate also, and a press release that you can send out to your local media and have your name in print that you were the winner of this first annual. It is. It's the first annual contest. This year, the bounty wasn't that big, but next year it will get better. Be looking forward to it. Also, we're getting some really good contributions in the Security in Motion book that we're putting together. Not too late for you to participate. I think they're going to run through August, possibly July or August for sure. So if you have 200 plus words that you want to submit, you can become an instant author by sending it in to adminassist@privateofficer.com. Something that's happened to you while you've been involved in security, either a good arrest, a fire, a medical emergency, something that was stupid, funny, whatever. Something that you've been involved in. What we're going to do is we're going to compile all of those contributions, all of those various stories, and we're going to include that in a book called Security in Motion. And this is going to be very cool. And your name will be there. You'll have the credit on the credit line. You'll become an instant author. I've always been involved in the news. As I've mentioned before, it's just something that it's very useful if you know how to use it. It really is a tool, and you can take incidents and you can look at them and see what was done right or wrong or how you could do it better. You can also use the news for situational training. Look at what happened. Look at how you put yourself in that. You know, a lot of people, a lot of children growing up don't like to read these days. They hate reading because of, you know, video games and all the other things we have available to us. I teach children all the time to put themselves in the story. If you're reading about the Civil War, you're reading about something that happened, make yourself one of the characters. What would you have done? Look at how you would be. What would you be dressed up as? So on and so forth. Make yourself interactively involved, and the story becomes, alive for you. And that's the same thing with news. You can take a news article and use it for training. Use it for situational awareness. Use it as a tool for you. Use it for knowledge. This happened, and this is what they did, and okay, they did it right, and I can do it that way now if it happens here. A lot of times, people just don't look at things the right way. Instead of looking at things as a negative, look as a positive. Instead of half empty, look at the glass as being half full. And you'll find, that things will become much more interesting to you, they'll become, you know, people, they just, they, a lot of people look at things negatively. Even a bad experience, they're familiar with them. According to the press release today, he hired a security officer in February 2008. The security officer complained about her working conditions, and so he took her to dinner and then drove to his home to talk further, told her that he didn't want to stay outside because it was unsafe. They went inside, and he allegedly molested and sexually assaulted her, and he's been convicted today, guilty. He'll be spending 9 years in prison, 9 years. In Riverside, California, a security officer shot and killed a driver of a vehicle. Police are still investigating. They say that the person was found behind some apartments. The security officer confronted the person who was rummaging through trash cans. The man then ran into a parked truck where two other men was already there. He attempted to drive away. The security officer said that he was hanging on to the vehicle. He told the man to stop the truck. He didn't, and the security officer shot and killed Efren Castillo Diaz of Bloomington. Has also, he was the driver. He's been booked into jail, aided by a rescue crew, and he was at UCLA Medical Center and passed away. He survived by his wife, his parents, and his sister. Police in Atlanta Metro, Georgia, here in Decatur, nabbed a 21-year-old man yesterday. They were notified by an anonymous caller that the man had a large number of fake credit cards with him and that he was at the Kroger store, police, in December of 2009. Now the jailer is in the jail. Also in the Atlanta Metro, an attorney, someone who's been a law lawyer and a representative of the law for many years, has been arrested for bringing the gun into the court. 74-year-old attorney Kirby Turnage had a .380 loaded weapon in a brown bag that went through a conveyor belt and a scanning machine. He said he forgot that the gun was there. But the other problem was that he had no permit to carry it. He's been charged with carrying a concealed weapon, carrying a weapon into a public gathering, and carrying a weapon without a license. Security at this particular courthouse, by the way, has been heightened ever since the escape and shooting of four people that left four people dead a number of years ago. You may recall that. Deputy Sheriff Richard Daniels of Twist County, Georgia, was killed yesterday. Police say that the deputy is grieving tonight for the loss of his son as well as the loss of a adjoining agency's officer. Deputy Sheriff Caroline Green died in Richmond, Virginia after striking a wall at the Virginia Commonwealth University Medical Center. She had just left after guarding a prisoner when she collided with the wall. She succumbed to her injuries after undergoing charge with aggravated assault, reckless endangerment. Police say that the security officer, Alfonso Roberts, was able to subdue the armed man and hold him until police arrived. In Omaha, Nebraska, police there are investigating two of their own. Two Omaha off-duty police officers working private security at Maya Mexico Mexican restaurant shot and killed a man. They say he was involved in a disturbance. Police are not charging the officers right now, but they are investigating the way that the shooting occurred. No further details have been released. In Chicago, private security officers at the Six Flags Great America have apprehended a voyeur who was taking video of men and boys in various stage of undress in the locker room at the Six Flags. Jaime Jimenez, 39, who is a school teacher in Alabama, was taken into custody where he remains tonight on numerous felony sexual charges. Also tonight, a loss prevention agent in Missouri, Springfield, Missouri, is being credited with finding a lost child, 3-year-old child who walked away from the store. Away. Montgomery, Alabama, police there say that a 22-year-old janitor is dead. A mall was evacuated for a number of hours. Police were called to the Montgomery Mall, the Eastdale Mall in Montgomery. Fire department and hazmat units also responded after R22 refrigerant leaked into the mall's ice skating rink, and police say that a 22-year-old worker, janitor, may have died from the toxic fumes. Nicholas Burdett of Millbrook was performing janitorial services for a private company when he died. Police say the death appears to be accidental and the investigation is ongoing. An off-duty customs officer was shot and killed in Queens, New York. U.S. Customs and Border Patrol agent was shot dead in Jamaica, Queens, Monday morning. Maurice Gordon, 33, was shot in front of his own house. NYPD is investigating. They say that he had been at a club earlier. When he arrived back to his house, someone must have followed him and shot him in the street. He leaves behind a wife and a 1-year-old daughter. Also in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, a Philadelphia prison guard on the way to work Sunday night was shot and killed in the doorway of his North Philly home. Lonnie Rollin, 36, was shot at about 10:50 p.m. shooting in Memphis this year by a security officer. In Rolla, Texas, a judge was killed by her own husband in an apparent murder-suicide. Rollitt Juvenile Court Judge Belinda Loveland, 59, was found dead in her home Sunday evening. Her attorney husband, Richard, 59, was also found dead. The couple's son came into the home and found them, called 911 after receiving a text message from his father that read, "I don't know how to tell you this, but I was in Forks Township." According to the Forks Township Police, John McGowan, who's 58 years old, the police chief of another small town, was killed when his motorcycle rear that he was riding crashed. He collided with the rear of a stopped vehicle that was waiting to make a turn left onto Old River Road. It's under investigation right now. Police did not say if alcohol or speed was involved. Also in Pennsylvania, a new law is going to make it a much stiffer penalty for those caught shoplifting. A misdemeanor crime has now been elevated to felony status. If you are shoplifting in the state of Pennsylvania in an organized manner, that charge will now be increased to a felony. That includes gangs or individuals that use various shoplifting techniques or tools. The new law goes in effect July 1st. In New Haven, a very popular New Haven television personality, Desiree Fontaine, has herself been arrested for shoplifting. She was caught in Milford, Connecticut, just down the road at the mall. According to loss prevention agents, they caught her trying to steal $104.98 worth of merchandise. Fontaine is a news anchor and TV personality on WTNH News Channel 8. She brings the morning traffic and hosts a program called Connecticut Style. She's been charged with shoplifting larceny at Sears after confronted by loss prevention. There was no details as to what she shoplifted. In New Orleans, a CSX train conductor was shot and killed on Sunday. According to police there, NLPD investigators say that the train, which was slowing down at a road crossing, was jumped by a suspect. At least one male person jumped onto the train, robbed the conductor, and shot and killed him. NLPD said that it's unknown exactly what was taken from the 52-year-old conductor. 426-3807. Do, 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 do. Okay, I promise I won't sing for you. Do, do, do. I might hum a few bars, but... Area code 1347-42. They don't understand because they've never experienced it. They never looked into it. They never had any dealings with it. Tonight, we want to talk about getting your house in order. On the top of the program, I mentioned 82 police officers killed in the line of duty. Last program on Sunday, we mentioned 82 this year, by the way. Last Sunday, I mentioned the security officers that were killed in the line of duty. I mentioned all of the deaths of private security over the last 5 years, the states that the most deaths came from. The study that was done by my colleague showed, plain as day, that we do have a dangerous profession, regardless of where you might be stationed, regardless of what your post might be, whether you're on patrol, whether you're at a factory, whether you're at a shopping mall, whether you're LP agent, whatever, understands clearly what it is that you want to happen. We're going to tell you about those five things tonight and next week. Well, I don't got a lot of money and I don't own a whole lot, so I guess this leaves me out. No, it doesn't. Tonight we're going to be talking about wills and trust. We're going to be talking about power of attorney and directives and DNRs. What's that? I'll tell you here in a minute. Everyone needs to have a will. Not me. Yeah, you too. Everyone needs to have a will. If you have children or a wife, own a house, own a car, or have debt, why I gotta have in a good position when we pass on? Oh, this topic's not very comfortable. I'm not sure I want to listen to this. I need to go get me a bear or something. No, you need to sit still and listen to what I got to say because it's very important in your line of work. Estate planning and death contingency. Ever heard of those terms? Estate planning and death contingency. And if that person is married, has children, you're going to leave this on them. And I'm sure that you don't want to do that. So we have to have a death contingency. We've got to have a plan. Let's start with our medical. Let's start, before we talk about money and property and all that, let's talk about the medical aspect. As a fire medic for many years, EMT paramedic, I have seen a lot of deaths, all types of deaths, accidents, fires, shootings, so on and so forth. Some more violent than others. I've seen a lot of natural deaths. Been to calls where people are having heart attacks and you can't bring them back. And sometimes you don't even attempt CPR. And that's pretty hard when you're in someone's home. Have an understanding with your family, and you need to sit down and you need to talk with them about what you want done. There's something that you may or may not know called a DNR. A DNR is becoming more and more popular across the country as people live longer. Many people have a do not resuscitate order. And what that is basically a form that has been signed and witnessed that says, if I have a heart attack, you can do CPR, but don't resuscitate me. Don't put me on a ventilator if that's what's necessary to prolong my life. The DNR also is a directive that says, do not do CPR. Sometimes people do not believe that the resuscitation is worthwhile, especially in extreme trauma cases where that person has a good possibility of being in a vegetable state or living in a coma state or being otherwise incapacitated and unable to independently get around. So many people have a DNR. Check into that. You can go online, type in do not resuscitate or DNR. Every state has a different form and different requirements. But if you are one of those people who do not want that to happen, you need to have the form filled out, and your loved one needs to have a copy. They need to have the original, actually, in my state. And something for you to think about. Food for thought. Part of death contingency. Part of planning what you want done. There's also something called a living will. And a living will is basically the same. It's the most basic directive that specifies well in advance of anything happening to you whether or not you want your life prolonged through artificial or extreme methods. Very similar to DNR and a living will. Research that. Talk it over with your family attorney if you have one. Talk it over with your doctor. Think about whether or not you want any prolonged artificial or extreme methods to resuscitate and bring you back. It is important. It is something that you really need to make known. And it's something that you should not take lightly. Okay, there are two of not being able to have thought process or being able to be of sound mind. You can have a medical POA, power of attorney, which states if incapacitated, you give the legal authority to a person, be it your mother, your brother, your wife, your husband, your boyfriend, or your employer. It gives them the power to make all of your medical decisions for you. The hospitals will be looking to you to call the shots, looking to you for the final say-so. You have to step in and make the decision as he would or she would. That's a medical durable power of attorney. There's also a financial power of attorney. That allows you to write checks on the person's accounts and pay their bills and have access to all their finances, bank accounts, credit accounts, and money. If the person is incapacitated, if they're hospitalized for a long time, if they're in a coma, or if they become deceased, that power of attorney will allow you access to all of his records. I'm sure that you've heard of HIPAA. Even if you're his wife, his husband, his fiance, his boyfriend, girlfriend, lover, whatever. HIPAA laws will not allow a medical provider to disclose in great detail medical records, medical information. But with the power of attorney, that changes everything. Same thing with dealing with bills, with debt, with credit cards, with mortgage. Mom is a financial guru, and she is much better at handling the bills and the money than my wife or my husband. So I'm going to have a power of attorney in case anything ever happens to me, in case I'm in a hospital, in a coma, or incapacitated. My mom will have access to all of my finances, my checking accounts, my credit cards. I'm going to stipulate in my power of attorney that Joan Smith ask your attorney, research it online, make some calls. This is extremely important to have. As a paralegal, I've been in the situations many a times when someone has called in for information about a case, the person has passed on or was incapacitated but did not leave a power of attorney. You cannot speak to them. And in many states, or accounts that they may need to continue your bills, to continue your payments, to make sure that everything is in order as you're getting better, as your recovery is taking place, or should you pass on, to make sure that everything is in order. So that's two things right there, three things actually. A DNR, do not resuscitate. From there in the bedroom, that's got a big chunk of gold in there. It's probably worth about $5,000 or something, $10,000. It's worth a lot. I told Junior he can have it when I go. You may have said all that, and you made it clear. You made your wishes clear. Unfortunately, if you do not have a will, under the law, you die intestate. Intestate means without a will. That probate court is called the Chancery Court. And what happens is if you don't have a will, the judge is going to look at your property, your assets, and who's involved. Are there any claims? Are there stepkids involved? Are there other family members who say that they were promised this and this and that? Hey, he told me I can get that brand new Cadillac that he put a will. A lot of times, the court will have the property sold and the money from it divided. A will directs everything from how you want to be, your funeral to be handled, how you want your assets to be divided. It directs how you want things divvied up, for lack of better words, of sound mind. When you made it, that you weren't half comatose or under the influence or on your dying bed, it can't be contested. It can be contested, but 9 times out of 10 or 99.9% of the time, the judge is going to find in favor of the will. But if you die intestate without a will, there's going to be a lot of issues, especially if you have any type of estate. A will must be recorded. It should, first of all, be signed by witness, notarized, and when something happens to you, it should be recorded at your local court upon death immediately. That becomes public record. The will becomes recorded at the court. Place until something happens, and then have it recorded at your local courthouse. But a will is extremely, extremely important. You may not have much in assets, but if you have anything at all, you surely want them to go to the people that you want them to go to. You don't want them to go to somebody else. You don't want that prized possession going to Cousin Joe that you never really got along with. So make sure that you invest your time in filling out the will if you are a member and that you have it stored in a safe location. If you are not a member, or you think that you really don't need the will, I strongly urge you to reconsider. There's also something called a trust. A trust is a little bit different than a will. A trust acts what you've appointed, and they act in the same way as you would. They take care of whoever that you specified. I'm sure that you have, in times past, heard about so-and-so who's got a trust fund. His parents set up a trust fund when he was a teenager. Should something happen to them, he will be taken care of for a certain amount of time. His college has been paid for. You know, his schooling is taken care of until he's 21 or 25, either through their own savings or insurance that they may have had. But a trust gives the trustee a fiduciary duty to you to carry out your wishes. If you have some assets, if you own property, for instance, many people here in the South and the North and the West and the East, I suppose, own property. That's been a family attorney. I know a lot of people say, oh, my friend's attorney, my cousin Bubba Joe is an attorney. Well, attorneys and doctors don't specialize, or they don't oftentimes do the same things. Your friend Bubba Joe, the attorney, might be a collections attorney. Your friend's friend's friend might be a Social Security attorney. They don't do a lot of trust or wills. Be sure that when you're talking, and a reason to have your finances in order as much as possible. There is something in the majority of the states called joint liability, joint and several liability. What that means is that in most states, or in many states, there are some exceptions. When you pass on, when you pass away, if you are married, your debt will carry over. They then become liable for those debts. Not in all cases. I'm not saying with every JCPenney, every Sears credit card, every debt. No, I didn't say that. You need to read the contracts. Who has time for that? Exactly. But in most states, spouses become liable for debt. In most states, mortgages and to consider a DNR, a do not resuscitate. Do you want to be resuscitated should something happen to you? Do you want extreme measures taken to keep you alive? Number two, power of attorneys, durable power of attorneys, medical or just financial. Who would you want to handle your finances should you be incapacitated? Should you be in a coma state? Should you be deceased? Who should handle it? Who should handle making those medical decisions for you if you need surgery but cannot give the okay to the doctors? Do you want your wife, your husband, your father, your mother, your brother, your friend, the priest? You have to have this in writing, notarized, and ready to go. You should have a specific place, a file, where you keep all of these documents so that when there's an emergency, when there's a medical emergency, your wife, your husband, whoever, significant other, can grab that file and that file alone and go out the door to the hospital with that file. Do you want a DNR? Do some research. Do you need a POA, a power of attorney? Yes, you do. Even if you are broke, even if you owe everybody, someone needs to make your medical decisions if you're incapacitated. Someone needs access to your finances, to your checking account, to continue paying sure that you have everything in order. Get your house in order now, today, this week, before something happens and your wife or your husband or your parents are standing there without the right documents, without the right paperwork, and unable to do the right thing for you. Well, this is going to conclude today's program. I know it was upbeat as some of the others, but it was a necessary topic. I hope that you're able to take something from it. Enjoy the rest of the week. Be safe. Be blessed as always. And I will talk to you again right here on the radio Sunday. Until then, adios, amigo.